Rebecca, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I don't know if this was going to be positive. Are we going to have a positive outcome around here at some point? But we are going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour yet again, starting off April 5th, next Wednesday, over at Costas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. The Instant Lottery Scratch-Offs will be giving these away to honor 50 years of Maryland Lottery. Play also our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I've got windows. I've got screens. Now I'm this close to an exterminator away from a perfect spring in the woods. We do appreciate our friends at Window Nation for taking great care of us. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And it is 0% financing while it lasts. Hurry on that. Luke Jones joins us. Luke and I got up early on Monday morning. Luke noticed that I was not at the Biltmore in Arizona, where I have been for the last 18 years, sitting next to John Harbaugh asking questions. They picked a hell of a year to throw me out, didn't they, Luke? I mean, of all of the absurd, ridiculous nonsense that John Harbaugh has ever babbling in the babbling tone at a breakfast press conference where his hand-picked quarterback, the revolution of Lamar Jackson, he and his people got together and decided to have a PR hijacking of John Harbaugh's breakfast press conference at the NFL owners meetings. And apparently everybody was in on the fact that Lamar requested a trade on March 2nd, except for John, who refused to acknowledge it, spoke like the tweet never happened, claimed that he'd never been on Twitter, even though he has sent me tweets in the past on my text. And it was such a lie-a-thon. And I don't know what they could do, but I know Kevin Byrne never would have advised John Harbaugh to go out there and pretend something didn't happen. And the only thing I could equate it to, and this is a little macabre, which was the night that Mike Flanagan committed suicide, that the television broadcast went on for 2-3 more innings, pretending it never happened. I think Masson has done that in regard to trades in the past, that the reality of the internet and the reality of real-time news and the reality of reacting to that with some sense of integrity and it was lost on John. It won't be lost on the fan base, but Lamar Jackson has requested a trade and dropped it hot on John Harbaugh on Monday morning in Arizona for breakfast.
Well, let's be clear about this. The trade request itself was made according to Lamar Jackson on March 2nd, which I'll remind you was 5 days prior to the franchise tag deadline when the Ravens placed the non-exclusive tag. So I found that timing interesting. I found the timing of Lamar's alleged trade request, and I'm not accusing Lamar of lying or, you know, I'm just going off of what he tweeted. I don't know for sure. And John Harbaugh didn't want to entertain reality with being asked, which, by the way, Lamar requesting it and John being aware that Lamar was going to announce it when he did are very different things in terms of him reacting to it. So, but I also found it interesting that Eric talked at the Combine on March 1st, which was the day before Lamar says he requested the trade. So, you know, just laying out the timeline here, and here we are 3.5 weeks later. Look, assuming Harbaugh did not know that Lamar was going to tweet that when he did, and I mean, I really doubt Lamar gave them a heads up when he was going to do that, in the same way that I do know he did not give the team a heads up when he announced his injury information at the end of the season. You know, that was tweeted on a Thursday evening, I think it was, and I know that was not something the team was prepared for.
Well, he has been rogue. He's been rogue. Can we say that?
Right. Sure. So from that standpoint, I mean, look, is it embarrassing for John Harbaugh and the organization? Sure. But at the same time, what is he supposed to say in that spot? You know, I mean, if you're put in that position, it's probably going to look bad no matter how you try to approach it. But, you know, I think what's fascinating about this is, see, this is new information for all of us on the outside. You know, we've speculated about this possibility. I think we've asked questions as far as how much Lamar truly wants to be here, in the same way that we've asked how much the Ravens truly want to sign him. Because if both sides truly, sincerely, unequivocally wanted that, then a deal would have gotten done at some point over the last couple of years. And it hasn't. And here we are talking about it in late March of 2023, when he first became eligible in the offseason of 2021, as far as his contract goes. But I think what's interesting about this is this isn't new for Lamar. This isn't new for the Ravens, because again, this was 3.5 weeks ago, if we're taking what Lamar said at face value. And we presume this is not brand new information for other teams, unless Lamar and DaCosta kept this as quiet as they've been able to keep other elements of this negotiation, to their credit, as we've talked about at different times, because it's left all of us on the outside just asking and speculating and using conjecture instead of facts. But assuming other teams have been aware, this is now known public, in the public eye, but does it change anything? This would have been far more intriguing if the Ravens had announced they were trading Lamar Jackson to whichever team at 4 p.m. on March 15th, the start of the new league year. That would have been okay. This was something that was in the works for 2 weeks. We assume that this has probably been entertained at the very least by the Ravens. We've talked about that anyway, whether Lamar had requested a trade or not, whether the Ravens have put out feelers, whether it was at the combine or whenever it might have been. So from that standpoint, does Lamar announcing this change anything? I don't know. Him asking for a trade is not the same as demanding. He did not say anything in his tweet that I will never play another game for the Baltimore Ravens. Although certainly when you ask a trade, kind of going back to what we said, talking about the Pro Football Talk report with Mike Florio, where, you know, fans were up in arms that Lamar had leaked that he was ready to move on from the Ravens, which it's a negotiation, of course. So that's the big question here. Is this way more negotiation tactic, or is he 100%, no questions asked, completely full conviction in saying, I'm done with the Ravens? And that's where we are at this process now. The one thing I will say, and you and I've talked about this a lot going all the way back to last year, really, this is Lamar Jackson's first meaningful attempt to really put pressure on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not counting OTAs last year. One, players under contract, it's voluntary. They're not required. There's no holding out from OTAs because you don't have to be there. And we talked about it at the time of it being a symptom that all wasn't well, but it still was not that terribly consequential in the big picture. I don't think Lamar Jackson skipping OTAs last spring had any consequence of what happened during the regular season. That's just how I feel. And some people might feel differently. But if Lamar were truly serious about getting a fully guaranteed deal, what were we saying last summer? Why is he on the practice field during training camp? Why isn't he forcing the issue? You know, we've talked about the agent piece to this, but at some point in time, if you're trying to push for something that is so extravagant from a negotiating standpoint, then sometimes you got to force the issue. And we've talked about it. I mean, we talked about Ray Lewis years ago, you know, in 2009, heading to free agency. We also remember in 2005, he wanted to be traded before they drafted Haloti Ngata. So, you know, it's not as though a player requesting a trade or holding out or not wanting to practice during training camp, whatever it might be, it doesn't necessarily mean that all is lost at that point. But we kept saying, if Lamar was really was hellbent on getting a fully guaranteed contract, at some point he was going to have to stop playing nice, so to speak. And I don't mean just, you know, how he negotiates or how he hasn't negotiated, just in the sense of trying to force some action in the same way that the Ravens, you know, at the time, before knowing that there was a trade request, that they put the non-exclusive tag on him. So from that standpoint, this is Lamar applying some pressure. What is completely different now than you and I talking about this even, you know, earlier in the morning on Monday or last week or a month ago? Well, we know that he's requested a trade, but him requesting that trade was back in early March. So that's where I look at this thing and say, does it really change anything from a team, you know, the other 31 teams looking at this? You know, did the Ravens keep this a secret? No, maybe there was some stealth involved, but I'm guessing, you know, what we've seen to this point is still going to come back to, for a team to trade for Lamar Jackson, I'm guessing, looking at the compensation and also more specifically the full guarantee that he wants, you know, the Deshaun Watson money, is still going to be a major sticking point here. So I'll say what I said in our previous segment that, you know, kind of got washed away by Lamar's announcement on Twitter on Monday, later in the morning on Monday, but get comfortable being uncomfortable, because just because Lamar Jackson says he would like to be traded and has asked for a trade, one, does not mean the Ravens are guaranteed to grant that. And two, even if the Ravens say, all right, yeah, we think that's probably what's best, they still want to get good value. You still want to get the best value you can. And based on all the other variables we've talked about with this whole franchise tag, non-exclusive, two first-round picks attached, the compensation level that he's asking for, the injuries, you know, no agent, all the different things we've talked about, it still muddies the waters. So is there a different path in terms of knowing now with other teams that maybe they think a trade is more plausible or pragmatic, and you don't have to worry about putting together an offer sheet that the Ravens just match, as we said, that could be a deterrent? Possibly. But again, the Ravens knew Lamar asked for it on March 2nd. He said the Ravens knew then. I would assume other teams were getting wind of this. I would think, maybe not. Maybe they were able to keep it that much of a secret, and maybe we'll find that out. So maybe it does change things a little bit, but at the same time, we're still talking about all those other variables at work here that have led to what has been, you know, not just a tepid market, but a non-existent market for Lamar Jackson to this point in time. So, you know, calling it a trade instead of, you know, the offer sheet process, does that change things? I mean, time will tell, but I'm still not convinced that we're going to get a resolution to this thing anytime soon. And, you know, I'll also throw out there, Lamar asking for a trade is not necessarily the same as demanding it or saying, I'm not going to step foot on the field with a Ravens uniform ever again. Guys have requested trades and come back. You know, that happens. But certainly when you look at this, you keep asking yourself over and over, what's the resolution here that's going to be a happy resolution? And as each day that passes and with the new information on Monday, that's where you look at this thing and you just kind of wonder, is this salvageable in a way that's going to make the two sides happy in continuing their marriage, partnership, working relationship, whatever you want to call it? But you know, we'll see. But it's definitely, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Are we having fun yet as it pertains to this? We at least have a new chapter to talk about, so to speak, I guess we could say.
Oh, well, a new page. Let's say a new page in this story. And the story has always, for 8 months, 10 months, going back to the OTAs last year, is Lamar happy here? Does Lamar want to be here? Does Lamar feel like the franchise has his back? Do they have his future? Do they believe in his future? Is he insulted by $133 million or whatever the offer was? It was a lot of money. Whatever the Ravens offered them, I think the Ravens felt like they offered a fair deal because they wanted to keep him. Now, I think that's different now. I don't know if the Ravens really want to keep him, really believe in him, believe he's happy, whatever. But we now know he's unhappy. And look, man, there's a lot of ways to do this. And if you're an agent and you want to go to war with the franchise, things you would do that are acts of war, I would think dropping I was more injured than they said I was, that's an act of war. Not showing up for a Cincinnati playoff game with your teammates when you're the highest paid player on the team and trying to become the highest paid player in the history of the sport and not showing up for a playoff game, probably not a good look. Having people openly wondering whether you were well enough to play, whether you jaked it or not. Openly wondering, I'm openly wondering right now over these airways whether he was jaking it or not. And I really don't know. And we'll never know. But the fact that I'm wondering whether he would jake it on his team in the playoffs, I know he jaked enough not to make Cincinnati. So I can take either side of this argument and play the Harbaugh pro management side, or I can play, you know, woe the poor, you know, forgotten MVP who's been slighted and mistreated and not given enough love here. I can play either side of that. But the reality is, from a fan, for our audience, for you doing the work you do and who we do it for, they're wondering whether he's going to come back here and play football. And I got to think, hitting Twitter 30 seconds before the coach sits down, it's clear Lamar was watching the online feed, put it out there. As Harbaugh sat down, everybody saw it but Harbaugh. Harbaugh was made to look like a fool in front of everybody left in the fake media. I see they threw Jim Trotter out too. They don't want any real reporters around. They've excommunicated him, Silver. How many more reporters are they going to make ex-reporters before we all get a lawyer? And all of that being said, real reporters, not Jameson and Jeff and a couple of handful of buddies that John can have Chad throw you out in the hallway. But like, they were all in the room. Every reporter in America, except me and you, were in the room. I've been in that room. I know what that room looks like. I know what it looked like when Mike Tomlin had Ben Roethlisberger problems. I know what it looked like when any coach has an off the field issue and they're there and they have a problem in their, all the media is over asking questions. And Jeff Zriebeck put up a half an hour before Harbaugh sat down that he had the biggest crowd. And I'm like, oh, so John's going to get real questions. And the only one there to save him was his coworker. Cliff Brown was the only one. His coworker put the question towards something else. Otherwise, he never would have had a question about anything other than Lamar if it was just media there, just us piranhas. So I would think that when John towels off, out at the Biltmore, and they're serving free drinks and shrimp cocktail Monday night that I'm not a part of, out on the lawn there overlooking Camelback Mountain. It's lovely. We usually have a nice band. The whole deal, families are there. That John Harbaugh is probably not having the greatest day, being that this was the move of the most prickish agent. If I were his agent and trying to be a dick, I would tell him to do it this way. And It was an act of war, Luke. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to say. Lamar is now at war with the franchise, and he doesn't need to say, I'm not coming back, I'm not coming to OTAs. He said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here, and I told him right a month ago, I don't want to be here, and now you know I don't want to be here. Unlike Hollywood Brown, Hayden Hurst, some of these other guys that quietly made an exit, it's very clear that Lamar's doesn't understand the market, doesn't know much about being an agent, doesn't even know enough to not have his gym buddy calling league owners last week as a representative, and the league came down on that. This is Lamar going to war with the league a little bit. Me and Colin Kaepernick and Jim Trotter may have some things to say to him about how that goes when you fight the man, fight the power, because there might not be another seat for him.
Well, I think what's interesting about this, I mean, and you just said it, and look, do we know with 100% certainty, at least in the first couple hours after this, that John Harbaugh and the organization were not aware that Lamar was going to tweet this? No, we don't. But at the same time, based on what happened with the injury tweet, as I mentioned, and there's no reason for Lamar to give them a heads up about that, because even if he did, that still puts John in a very difficult position. And this is where
he sought to embarrass John to a point.
Right.
Yes,
exactly. And what I find interesting about that is, think about the tone of the season-ending press conference. I wouldn't go as far as it was good cop, bad cop, because, DaCosta certainly wasn't being combative about it, but John was the one that was being overly optimistic and saying, we're 200% committed to Lamar to be our quarterback, and speaking in such high regard and praising him. And he continued to do that on Monday morning. But I found that part of it interesting. I'd like to know how John Harbaugh, the person, the human being, feels about Lamar putting him in that position. Whether he had any kind of a heads up whatsoever, which I my gut tells me no.
Zero chance. There's zero chance.
I wonder how he feels about that element of this. Sure. So, but my point is, I just find that fascinating from the standpoint of, John's not the one negotiating the contract. Now, does John know more than he leads on when he's talked about the negotiations and all that? I'm sure he does. I mean, of course he does. But he's not the one sitting there talking numbers. That's been DaCosta and Lamar's phone via text or whatever, whenever they've been able to talk, or the couple times they've talked in person. So that element of it, I do find, very interesting. Again, what happens from here? We're still talking about an impasse from the standpoint of, unless another team is willing to step up, and there's been no evidence of that from an offer sheet standpoint. It still feels like unless Lamar comes off of what his contract demands have been, I'm not sure how this is going to pl- play out. Especially from a Ravens perspective of, you still want to get good value. If you're trading him, if you're moving on, even if you agree with Lamar and say, you know, that's what's best. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you're settling for a late first round pick next year or something like that. I mean, you want to try to, I'm not saying you're going to get 4 first round picks either. Let's be clear, but you know, I'll kind of come back to what would be the best case scenario based on the information we have now, knowing even with Lamar asking for a trade, it's probably the Indianapolis scenario where you could get the 4th overall pick. And, you know, even if you don't get next year's, you know, even if you can get the 4th pick and you say, you know what, we'll draft, you know, or we'll try to move up to 3 and we'll take the 3rd best quarterback on the board or however, you know, it shakes out. So, but there's no guarantee with that. And again, it comes back to Lamar having the contract demands that he has and all the other elements at work. You know, how eager is a team to jump into that situation? You know, I mean, that's been the question all along. And that's why I say, even what with us now knowing that Lamar has requested a trade and did it 3.5 weeks ago, I'm still not convinced that that changes anything drastically from where we already were with this impasse, or, you know, as I kind of talked about it flippantly, you know, hijacking the offseason. You know, some people have called it a hostage situation, however you want to characterize it, you know, with whatever semantics you want to use. You know, I'm not sure it changes anything drastically other than this is Lamar for, you know, some of those other elements you mentioned. You could still interpret it a certain way, right? Oh, he was too injured or he was sick to go to you know, Cincinnati, or maybe there was just a difference of opinion with the injury, and oh, OTAs, well, he didn't have to, that's voluntary. You can't really hide behind this or downplay a trade request, right? Whether it is strictly a negotiating ploy or whether he is absolutely hell-bent on saying, I will never play for the Baltimore Ravens again. They could offer me everything I wanted and I still wouldn't play for them because that bridge has been burned. And I'm not saying that that's the case, but you know, we don't know where he falls on that, you know, that range, that spectrum. But this is a very clear indication of Lamar, not kind of haphazardly, but trying to force the issue. Now, we can talk about whether it's going to be effective or not. I mean, that's a totally different story, but this is a little bit different than just some of the other things that you talked about that happened last season where, you know, there was still ambiguity, right? Lamar tweeted this. This wasn't Adam Schefter reporting it via source or anything like that. Lamar flat out tweeted, I asked for a trade from the Ravens on March 2nd because, you know, they're not valuing me in the way that I feel I should be valued.
And by the way, most of the time that is my agent told the Ravens that I requested. This is him. This is him saying to Eric and Steve and John, I'm out. This isn't a third party. There couldn't be a third party, you know? And there's no reason to doubt that Lamar Jackson asked for a trade now that he said he asked for a trade. I can call any of these people bullshitters because at some point they all are, and it's my job to disseminate that. I believe Lamar Jackson because he said it. I believe it. I believe he asked for it on March 2nd. Yeah. I believe that he's kept his mouth shut. I believe that he said we're going to let the market play out. I believe he thought that everybody would want him. Everybody. I think he is shocked at the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints and the Las Vegas Raiders and the Tampa Bay Bucks that none of them have asked for his services. And he's got DeMarre Smith and all the Players Association Hawks all saying they're colluding, they're colluding, they're colluding. He believes they're colluding. He believes there's going to be a $500 million lawsuit at the end of all this. I'm sure he's being told that.
Certainly because you have many people in the media and fans that have been shocked that they're, you know, not all 31 teams, of course, but at least 3 or 4, right? At least 4 or 5, you know, the teams that we talked about prior to the new league year starting, Atlanta with all their cap space that they had before free agency opened. And, you know, we've talked about Indianapolis, Tennessee's been mentioned, Washington has been mentioned, although certainly they don't have that top 5 first round pick that was attractive. But you know, you Carolina before they traded up to first overall, but it hasn't played out that way. And, you know, again, him requesting a trade does not mean the Ravens have to grant it. So we're going to see how it plays out. Another thing I do want to mention, because I've talked about, you know, this topic of him forcing the issue, right? You know, of him taking some action here rather than just, playing last year on his fifth year option and showing up on the first day of training camp. And yeah, he skipped OTAs, but again, OTAs aren't that big of a deal in the big picture. I think now with him having done this, at the very least, I can't fathom. And I had a difficult time believing it, you know, even before we found this out on Monday. Can't fathom that he's going to step foot on the field. You know, it's one thing to talk about him sticking around for another year because they don't work out a trade, and but not going to be for $32.4 million. Him requesting a trade, I would think, you know, there's no way that he's going to just play on the non-exclusive tag. So how does this play out? I don't know. One thing I'll talk about, though, and this is where we go back to the Ravens side of this from a football standpoint, is Lamar Jackson doesn't show up and you can't get fair trade compensation, or even if you do, what are you doing at quarterback? What are you doing? What's happening with the rest of your football team in the meantime? I mean, is 2023 just going to be a year that's thrown away and, you know, in a big picture sense? I don't know. I mean, I'm being rhetorical in saying that. I'm not saying that you have the answer either, but I mean, it's just, this is just not a good situation. It's not. And we can kind of divvy out, Ravens should have done this 2 years ago. They should have been more aggressive, or, you know, give Lamar what he wants. He's your franchise quarterback. Or Lamar's being unrealistic. He doesn't have an agent, you know, so that's been foolish. You know, we can go back and forth on all the different talking points that not just you and me, everyone has used, and some being more valid than others as far as the talking points. But this is a mess. And to sit here and say that I have confidence that the Ravens, from their perspective, are going to ultimately find a solution that's going to be something that they're agreeable to, I don't know. I mean, even if you get the draft picks, you still have to pick the right players, right? You still have to find who your new quarterback's going to be. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a mess. And it's wild to think where we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You know, 3 years ago when Lamar Jackson was unanimous league MVP and the toast of the town and all the different things we've talked about for the better part of 3 or 4 years now, and how many people we proved wrong, to think that it's gotten to this point is just, again, regardless of who you want to blame or who you like or dislike or rooting for or aren't rooting for in this position, it stinks. It stinks for the Ravens. It stinks for Lamar Jackson too. You know, I mean, but at the same time, to sit here and say that I know how it's all going to play out, I mean, we know he's requested a trade, but again, does that really change anything dramatically from all the other variables we've already been talking about? I really don't know.
Luke Jones doesn't know. I don't know. I do know this. It could be very, very difficult for Lamar Jackson to come back into this town, play football here, and make peace with John Harbaugh after embarrassing him earlier on Monday morning. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. I'll be writing columnists. We got opening day this week. We got a Final Four this week. We got a Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week on Wednesday, beginning on the 5th. We're going to be over Costas celebrating 50 years of the Maryland Lottery. We'll have these scratch-off tickets to give away from the Maryland Lottery, the Instant Lottery scratch-offs, old school. Our friends at Window Nation will be with us as well at 866-90-NATION. It's going to be a week around here. Lamar Jackson, he wants out. What's the next step? I don't know. We are WNST AM 1570 Taos in Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.